Earlier today, U.S. agricultural authorities announced that they're investigating what may be the second case of mad cow disease in this country. It'll take up to a week to determine with any certainty if this is or is not mad cow. The possible case comes 11 months after the first confirmed case of mad cow in the U.S. Japan and other countries still have bans on importations of U.S. beef. If you have questions about today's news, give us a phone call, 1-800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Joining us now to answer some questions is NPR science correspondent Joe Palca. Good to have you back on the program, Joe.
Thanks very much, Neil.
So what do we know about this case so far?
Well, not too much about this case. USDA, they're in a we're in a funny period of time right now. Basically, what happened is back in June, the USDA expanded its surveillance. They wanted to get a better idea of whether there was mad cow or not in this country, because critics have been saying you're not testing enough animals. So they're in this expanded testing program. They're using a very sensitive test, which means it's designed to be as sensitive as possible, but the flip side is, it make it very sensitive, you're going to get times when it seems to be positive and it really isn't. So they've had this policy in place that said, okay, if we get a positive, we'll tell everybody about it. That was their first policy. Mm-hmm. And in the first 2 weeks of the program, they had two positives, and they went, uh-oh, this isn't such a good idea because
everybody's going to be on edge all the time.
Right.
Nobody's going to know.
So then they said, all right, instead of reporting every time there's a positive, we're going to do the screening test twice. If the second round of screening tests also is positive, then we'll tell the public. But we're still telling them we don't know, and we're sending for more information. So this is the first time under this second level of screening tests that we've had a we don't know. And their policy about this is until they get a positive, we don't know simply means we don't know, and we're not going to tell you whether it was a cow or a bull. We're not going to tell you where it came from. We're not going to tell you what its condition was, nothing. Mm-hmm. So we're in this funny time where maybe there's another case of mad cow disease, and maybe there's not.
Now, obviously, one of the things that's important to beef exporters in this country is those restrictions put on by Japan and other countries. The United States has been sending people around the world to say, hey, you know, everything's been fine ever since. Maybe you should take them off.
Well, yeah, and of course that's going to be their attitude because it's a multi-billion dollar export business that the U.S. wants to protect. At the same time, ask in Canada how they feel about that, and because they say we've only had one or two cases, and we think we've got the problem under control, and the U.S. has taken a long time to remove all the restrictions on Canadian beef. So I don't think that the world market is going to be terribly sympathetic to the U.S. saying, take us back, when, you know, they've been very strict about their own rules. It's a difficult situation. I don't mean to say that there's, you know, anybody who's right or wrong here. I'm only saying mad cow is very scary for a country to have in its food supply. But if you look around the world, there are still cases. In Switzerland, there's still cases, I believe in England. I have to double-check. But there's cases sporadically all over the world. The U.S. has had one.
That we know of.
And so they have an argument to say we don't have a big problem with it here.
Well, one of the problems that people had with it last time was that they got this case of a cow who had a problem, the falling down cow, as we've heard so much about. In the meantime, they sent it away to be tested, but the meat from the cow went ahead and was processed and put into the...
I'm glad you brought that up, because they realized that that was a big mistake in the last time, and so they've now taken the point... They've now taken the point that any cow that's tested will not be, especially any cow that's tested positive, will not enter the food chain until they've had a chance to. That's what they're saying. The thing is that there's still a lot of cows that fall down that don't get tested that do go into the food chain, and the industry says, look, they're perfectly safe, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's there's some interesting questions, though.
Well, maybe our listeners have some as well. Here's Margo, who joined us on the phone from Long Island in New York.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
My question is about the incidence of false negatives, either in the first test or the second test, and I'll take my answer off air. Thank you.
Okay, Margo.
Well, okay. What does that mean? That means that a false negative would be the test says there's no mad cow disease, but when in fact there is.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is, how do you know? I mean, I don't think...
You wouldn't test it again if you got a negative, right?
Right. And I mean, there are people who are very concerned about this issue, this false negative issue, because they say, oh, well, you know, could be there. But it's a little, I mean, yes, we might all, mad cow could be everywhere. I mean, the fact is that the tests available today for testing for this disease are primitive. And we don't know a lot about prions. This is this funny protein that it's actually an agent that causes proteins to fold in a different way. We don't know a lot about that yet. We don't know a lot about testing for it. We don't know a lot about what to do about it, certainly. And so the question is, maybe there's a low level of this all over the place. How are we going to know? So the answer about false positives is, I don't think there's a good way of knowing the answer, because how you know? I mean, if the test is negative, you're done.
Mm-hmm. But you said false positive. Now, you were talking about false negatives there.
Yeah, right.
False positives are another problem.
Well, false positives is what we're talking about in what certainly everybody is hoping is the case in this current incident, which is that's the USDA has avoided using the term false positive. But basically that says your test is saying positive, even though in reality you're not. So it's like going to the doctor and getting tested for strep throat on a screening test, and the screening test says you've got strep throat, but when they try to culture strep from bacteria from your, they can't, and so they say, well, the screening test was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not such a big deal in the case of getting a false positive there, but it's the same idea. You don't really have strep throat, even though the screening test said you do. They're hoping that's a same case here. The test is inconclusive.
Mm-hmm.
They're hoping that it can be confirmed negative.
Okay, let's get another caller in. Steve is with us from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, how come that they don't test 100% of the bees here like they do in Japan and some of the other countries? And my comment, and I'll take the answer off the air, is I'm glad I'm a vegetarian today.
Okay, Steve. Thanks for the call.
I guess part of the answer is cost, in the sense that there's, you know, quite a number of animals in this country, and to test all of them would be a major financial burden. And the other part, these are policy issues. I mean, there are some who have called for that, and it certainly is possible that that's a direction we could go in the future if this issue was perceived as a bigger problem.
What happens now? I mean, this test has come up. Presumably two tests have now come up. What happens next?
Well, they actually, the screening test is done at regional centers around the country, and just a little bit of the brain tissue is used in the screening test. In the confirmatory test, they actually take the brain out of the animal and mail it, or ship it, I suppose, to Ames, Iowa, where there's a national reference lab for testing. And in that case, they do some more additional slicing up of the brain samples and looking for evidence of the prion protein in the brain of the animal. And sometime, as I think you said in your introduction, in a week, it could be as short as 4 days or seven, that's the range, 4 to 7 days that the USDA is saying, they will say, we believe this is or is not a case of mad cow. If it is a case of mad cow, then there'll be a lot more news stories and a lot more chance to talk about it. But I think the real answer is that even if it is positive, I think the people have to remember that this is not like mad cow is widely disseminated, at least to the best of our ability to detect it. It's not an enormous problem in the U.S. cattle industry.
NPR science correspondent Joe Palca, thanks very much.
You're welcome.